Most of us know the story of how the Lord led his people, the children of Israel, out of where they had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And in doing that, it took some amazing miracles. Probably the first was when the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush. The bush burned, but it wasn't burned up. And Moses turned aside to see that, and the Lord told him that he wanted him to go and stand up before the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and tell him to let the people go, to go out into the desert and worship their God. And Pharaoh refused. And time again, Moses asked, and when Pharaoh refused, the Lord would send these plagues like frogs or lice or boils onto the people in Egypt and the king or Pharaoh and his family so that they were all struck by these plagues. And Pharaoh would change his mind and he would say, I'll let the people go, but then he would stop and turn back and he wouldn't let the people go. When the people were fleeing Egypt, the Egyptian army came after them, a huge army with horses and chariots, and these people were carrying everything they owned and their babies and holding their children by the hand, running through the desert, trying to get to safety, and they came to the Red Sea, and there at the Red Sea, they couldn't go any farther. And they looked back and they saw the Egyptians coming. And they were afraid. And Moses talked to the Lord. And the Lord said, tell the people to just go forward. And Moses took his rod and he put it into the water. And the water parted. And the people were able to walk safely across the sea on dry land. And then as the Egyptians came in with their horses and chariots, the waters closed over them and the Lord saved the people. So you would think that the Lord, who had done all these miracles and had brought them to safety, would always be there to care for them. And you would think that they would know it by now. But you know, this is a very hard lesson for us to learn. It was a very hard lesson for the people to learn. Time and time again, the Lord would help them. He would save them. He would bail them out of trouble. And time and time again, the people would forget to ask the Lord for help and forget that the Lord was always there to help them. And sometimes we're like that too. Sometimes we think that it's going to be all up to us, that we're the ones who have to fix it, that we're the ones who have to solve our problems, that we're the ones who have to make us happy people. Here's what we read in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Now, did the Lord bring them into the wilderness to kill them with hunger? No, of course not. The Lord brought them into the wilderness because it was the way that they had to travel in order to get to the promised land. Just like going through all of the hard times in our life is the way we need to travel in order to learn the lessons that will help us become heavenly people or angels. So the Lord told Moses that they would be fed, that the people would be fed. And he said that they would get quail or meat to eat in the evenings and in the morning there would be manna. The manna, no one saved any manna till today because it was thousands of years ago. So we don't know what manna was like, but we're told in the Bible that it was like little grains of seed, and it was sweet tasting, and they could go out and gather it, pick up these little pieces, and make them into cakes or bread or maybe porridge or cereal, and they could eat it and it would nourish them. This is bread that we use. It's called unleavened bread, and we use it when we have the Lord's Supper or communion. There were two rules about manna. The first rule was that they were not to gather more than they needed. So when they went out, everyone went out into the desert in the mornings, and there on the ground, as the dew dried up, they found these little grains, and they picked them up and put them in baskets, bring them back to their house, and whatever they gathered, it was enough to feed them for the day. And they were told that they weren't to save any of it until tomorrow. Not any. Because the Lord was going to give them fresh on the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until the sixth day. Because the other rule was that they weren't supposed to do any gathering on the Sabbath. So on the sixth day, the Sabbath was the seventh day, and it's what we celebrate as Sunday today, or the Lord's Day, and it's to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. On that day, you shall not do any work, was the commandment. So the people weren't supposed to gather anything on the seventh day, but on the sixth day, they would go out and gather, and lo and behold, it would be twice as much as they usually gathered. And they would eat what they needed, and they would cook or boil or prepare it the way they wanted to. And what they saved over until the next day was good. But the rest of the week, if they saved it over, it would breed worms and stink. So we're told that those are the rules that the people were told, but just like usual, they didn't always obey the rules. And this time, they did not listen to Moses, but some of them left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Ugh. So you wouldn't want to eat it. And there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson in that, because the food that we eat, the food we buy in grocery stores, the food we prepare, the food that we grow in our gardens, the food that we eat is a symbol, a little reminder from the Lord's word that the Lord always gives us the things we need, the things that make us happy, the things that make our life blessed. Things like love and being useful and caring for one another and having people love us. The Lord gives us these things. That's why when we said the Lord's Prayer, we said, give us this day our daily bread, because the Lord gives us what we need every day if we just follow Him. So following the Lord makes it possible for the Lord to take care of us, to keep us happy, to teach us to be better people, all of those things. But when we think that it's our job to take care of ourselves, or when we worry, or when we're afraid, it's like trying to save up enough manna so that we'll have food for tomorrow. And that's why they weren't allowed to do it. And the reason they didn't eat or gather anyway, didn't gather food on the Sabbath day, but they were able to eat it, was because on the Sabbath day, we're remembering how the Lord saves us. The Lord, throughout our whole life, is helping us to learn and grow, to see the things in our heart that we don't think the Lord wants to be there, and helping us to remove them. Sometimes people think that the phrase turning our lives over to God or letting go and letting God means that we just stand there and let the Lord take care of us. We don't have to do anything. The Lord is going to do it. We don't have to work to change. The Lord is going to fix us. The Lord will feed us. The Lord will give us what we need to be happy. If you turn to your readings in the Secrets of Heaven, the teachings of the New Church tell us that with people who rely on the deity, and that's deity is a name for God. So with people who rely on God, although they are concerned about the future, they are not concerned. Well, how can you be concerned and not concerned? Because they do not contemplate or worry about coming times with anxiety, let alone distress. They are serene. That means peaceful and calm. They are serene whether they achieve the things they desire or not. And when they are deprived of them, they do not grieve. They are content with their lot. If they grow rich, they do not set their hearts on wealth. If they rise to positions, high positions, they do not regard themselves as more important than others. If they become poor, they are not downcast or very sad. If their status is lowly, they are not depressed. They know that people who trust in the Lord, the deity, are always moving toward a state of eternal happiness, and that no matter what happens to them in finite time, it still contributes to that state of eternal happiness. So that's what is meant by letting go and letting God, or turning things over to God. And another common expression is, man proposes, God disposes. In other words, we come up with what we think we need. We work to make that happen. And even though we work to make that happen, it doesn't always happen. We don't always get what we think we want, but the Lord can give us what we really need. And that's what the Lord disposes means. And if you think about it, here's what I want, and here's what the Lord wants for me, which is better? Which would you really want? What the Lord wants for you, or what you think will make you happy? Maybe new toys, a new car, a bigger house, you know, lots of friends. You know, might think about all these things that you need, and if I had these things, I'd be happy, and if I don't get them, I'll be miserable. That's like, it breeds worms and stinks. The food we could be having isn't very satisfying if we think we have to do it ourselves. Instead, we turn to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm doing my best. Help me. Give me what I need. You know, it also means we shouldn't worry about other people. You know, we worry a lot about making ourselves happy, but we often worry a lot about what other people are doing that don't make us happy, that doesn't make us happy. Sometimes we get angry at what other people are doing. Sometimes we're jealous because of what other people have. Sometimes we covet or earnestly wish in our hearts to have what other people have. And then it's like we're saying, Lord, you're taking care of them, but you're not taking care of me. But whenever we're in one of these negative states where we think that somehow somebody else is making our lives unhappy, it's an opportunity for us to grow. Anger, resentment, jealousy, you know, all of these negative feelings take away our happiness in the moment. Wouldn't it be better if we could just say, Lord, I know that you take care of me every day. How about you take care of these other problems? You take care of these other people that I think are problems. And you help them to learn and grow because you love them. So in the 37th Psalm, which is our last reading in your pew cards, it starts out, do not fret because of evildoers. Have you ever fretted because of evildoers? Well, I know I have. Once some person turned me in to the zoning department because I had a bunch of old Volkswagens in the backyard that I was hoping someday to fix up. One of my neighbors did this. I thought it was terrible. I fretted for days about those evildoers who I didn't know which neighbor it was. I was unhappy for a long time. Do you think the Lord wants me to be unhappy for a long time? No, no. So eventually the Lord helped me, and I went and I sold some of those old Volkswagens, and that was the end of it. Trust in the Lord and do good, it says. Do good. Because it isn't just enough to say, Lord, you take care of them. There's work we need to do on our sides as well, right? The do good part. So, for example, if you feel like someone has hurt you or done something unkind to you or said something bad about you, there's work you can do. You can say, Lord, please help this person to grow. But you can also say, I wonder if I had a part in this. You know, perhaps they were unhappy at me because of something I did before or something I said before. Perhaps they see me as proud or conceited or unkind, and they're just trying to build themselves up by putting me down. I don't know what's going on in their heads. Part of the work is to say, I don't know. You know, it's easy for me to make up stories about why people do things to me. Usually those stories are not based in fact. You know, they're just in my imagination. You know, this is a terrible driver who just cut me off or came through the red light and almost killed me. This is a terrible person. He should be in jail or she should be in jail. You know, I think those ways. But I could also say, I wonder what's going on with that person. They are so in a hurry. You know, perhaps something bad has happened. Perhaps they've just gotten bad news. Perhaps they're late for work. Perhaps they're feeling sick and trying to get to the hospital. I don't know. But it's just as easy to make up a story that puts them in a good light as it is to make up a story that has them being a terrible person. Well, I just don't know. So trying to impute good rather than evil to other people is part of the work we need to do when we're turning it over to God. And you know, the more we're able to do that, the more we're able to say, Lord, I give you this person. I'm just doing the best I can. The more we can do that, then the more we can be like the angels. The teachings of the new church tell us that angels hardly ever see evil in other people. They just don't. They notice the good things that other people are doing. And it says if they notice something evil, then they overlook it. Oh, you know, well, they spilled wine down their shirt. That happens. You know, they just overlook it. Or they put a good interpretation on it. Let's say, well, maybe they had a good reason. Or maybe they didn't mean to hurt somebody else. Maybe they were scared or afraid or upset themselves. I don't know. But I know the Lord loves them and the Lord wants them to be happy. And if I can put my mind in that place, then I can be happy too. The Lord's love for us, for each one of us, is so great that we just can't imagine it. We're told that if the Lord could, he would take all of us and just pull us into himself like a massive hug. But he knows that some of us would feel pretty uncomfortable if he did that. And so he gives us room and space, and we choose how close we come to him. Or we choose how much we think other things are more important. And the Lord gives us that space. He works with us every day in our lives. And you can see that when you look back, the way the Lord has encouraged you to look at yourself, perhaps to say, that's not the kind of person I want to be. If you know, you lose your temper and you raise your voice and you yell at someone that you love, and afterwards you say, I don't want to be that way. I don't like to be that kind of person. And then you ask the Lord to help you grow and be a better person. That's what the Lord is doing throughout our whole lives. And we hardly ever notice it, but if we stop and look, we can see. When we stop doing our own work, you know, stop worrying about how much manna there is for tomorrow, then the Lord can do his work in us. And he can bless us. And he can fill us with joy, giving us the food that we need to eat every day. Amen.